I'm Daniel Goleman, and I'm here with my friend Peter Senge to talk about organizational learning and the cross-connection between Peter's work in that area and my own on emotional intelligence and leadership. These are two different lenses, I think, Peter, really on the same kinds of critical behaviors in an organization and a team and an individual that make such a difference for the quality of the work that's done and for the quality of being of the person while they do that work. First off, in your own terms, what is organizational learning?
Well, there's many levels for understanding simple but pretty complicated idea like that. The simplest, though, is just to take our most everyday notions of learning. Learning is a process whereby a human being or a group of human beings enhances their capacity to do what they want to do. So one time you and I learned to walk and we learned to talk and we spend our life learning about human relationships and how to be a parent and how to be a son or daughter. These are all learning processes. You know, we're engaged in developing capacities to ultimately, it may sound a little technical, produce an outcome that we really want. And the outcome obviously could be something quantitative and visible, or it could be something quite subtle, like learning to be a better meditator. But that's all learning processes. And organizational learning just kind of takes that to an aggregate and says, well, organizations that are continually enhancing their capacities to create the kind of outcomes that people, their members, really want to create is learning.
What appeals to me about organizational learning, as you've made it a community of practice, is that you really have begun to identify specific processes, specific ways people can act together to enhance their ability to learn together. What are some of those?
Yeah, this has always been the central territory of our work. In some sense, it's the core out of which we continue to evolve and move in different substantive domains. But there are at least three core processes that seem to be fundamental for the capacity of, and you could say this of teams or larger networks or whole organizations, to continually learn. The first has to do with the quality of aspiration. Every organization has goals, but usually it's one or two people's good ideas for what everybody else ought to see as a goal, as opposed to really having a sense of collective aspiration. We're doing this recording in a building that's had many great symphonic and other, you know, musical performances. You don't build a great symphony orchestra unless there's a group of people who have some common aspiration, which at some level is aesthetic and it's very personal. It's what it means to create great music. It doesn't matter what the conductor's goal is ultimately. It's that ensemble's common aspiration. So there's this capacity to aspire in any work setting. When gets right down to it, there's lots of problems and there's lots of issues, and how we talk to one another is core. So we've always regarded the process of conversation as a fundamental determining aspect of whether or not learning is occurring. We're talking all the time, but of course, most of the time, we're talking at each other. I'm trying to convince you, I'm listening just as much as I need to in order to hear where you're coming from so that I can somehow get you on board with whatever I want to do or whatever I think is the right point of view or whatever. The difference between talking at one another and talking with one another is a very fundamental distinction in human relationships. And it's a first order determining factor in any working team. Most meetings are a waste of people's time, and they'll tell you that.
I've always found that.
And the primary reason is people say, well, we didn't need to have that meeting. You know, it was just a bunch. Everybody was saying what we already knew they were going to say and tell us what they were already doing. Occasionally, you know, people leave a meeting and go, geez, that was an incredible conversation. Something's really changed in me. I see things I didn't see. I have a sense of connection with one another that, you know, maybe we can actually do something here. It reaffirms our sense of possibility. That's the difference between talking at one another and talking with one another.
It's what you call dialogue.